you and praise you. Truly, it is you that makes the difference, God. There will be no one in this building if it wasn't for you. There would be no one doing anything if it wasn't for you. You are our living, breathing. You are our moving. You are our everything for all eternity. And God, we thank you and we praise you that we now have put our trust in you. I even pray now before the sermon even gets started. There's somebody here under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, that they would accept you even while the message is going on. And they'll put their hope and trust in you because truly it is you. Now, God, hide me beneath the cross. God, think through my mind. Speak through my vocal cord. Let it be all of you and less of me, God. Let the people be touched, blessed, and eternally grateful for what you've done in their lives in Jesus' name. And let everybody say amen. Amen. With your Bibles in your hands, grab them and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Pastor Andre, preach this word. Amen. First thing we're going to do, we're going to start off by me just saying to you, Happy Thanksgiving. Amen. I put that graphic on the screen, Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because it's not a whole lot of pressure, mainly because I don't do a lot of the cooking, so it's not a lot of pressure for me. All I got to do is show up and eat. Show up, eat, and be thankful. But the problem that I have is that oftentimes we allow ourselves to get trapped in the holiday, that the last Thursday or whatever Thursday, the fourth Thursday or whatever Thursday it is, third Thursday in November, that's the only time that we are to give thanks. And I don't want us to be trapped by a holiday because I want to talk about Thanksgiving as it not just relates to your holiday, not just relates to cranberry sauce and turkeys and sweet potato pie. Thank God for some sweet potato pie. But I want you to have Thanksgiving even when you don't have a dime. I want you to have Thanksgiving when there is no holiday. I want you to have Thanksgiving when there is no turkey. I want you to have Thanksgiving when the Cowboys are not playing on your television on Thursday. I don't want you trapped by a holiday. I want you to have Thanksgiving as a normal part of your life. So happy Thanksgiving, but not just in November. Happy Thanksgiving in December and in January and in February. Happy Thanksgiving every time you get a chance to come to church. Happy Thanksgiving every time you get a chance to take another breath. I want you to understand that Thanksgiving is not a holiday, it's a lifestyle. Somebody say, it's not just a holiday, it's a lifestyle. The attitude of gratitude will always affect your altitude in life. I'm going to say that one more time because y'all didn't know how good it was when I said it the first time. The attitude of gratitude will affect your altitude in life. You got to take a mindset that from January 1 to December 31st, there's going to be a happy Thanksgiving attitude in my life. Because if I'm still here, I have a reason to give thanks for something in this life. Now, if you grow up in a family like mine, we try to do that because we would ask ourselves maybe before we eat or after we eat or during the dinner table, we would ask this question, what are you thankful for? In other words, go around the table and say, what are you thankful for? We used to do that before we ate, but we had some long-winded family members. And so let's eat and talk because I don't want my food to get cold while you're talking. And so we ask ourselves, what are you thankful for? And it's beautiful to think about what you're thankful for. Even with Thanksgiving, it's beautiful to think about what you're thankful for. But let me go on just a quick rabbit trail. I promise I won't stay too long. But if you were the Native Americans, it wasn't so thankful for you. We celebrate stuff that the world tells us to celebrate. We celebrate it how they tell us to celebrate. But you have to be careful just celebrating everything the world tells you to celebrate, because the history books ain't always right. Jesus wasn't even born on December 25th. Be careful just following the holidays. You ought to have your own personal conviction. I don't care what the world does, I'm going to be thankful. I don't care what the world does, I'm going to celebrate his birth. I don't care what the world does, I'm going to celebrate his resurrection. I can have Easter whenever I feel like having Easter. I can have Christmas whenever I feel like having Christmas. I can have Thanksgiving whenever I feel like having Thanksgiving, because I'm not trapped by a holiday. I don't have to wait till February 14th to tell my wife I love her. I don't have to wait to May to honor my mother. I don't have to wait to June to honor my father. There's nothing wrong with any of those holidays. I celebrate them all. I do it all, but I don't want us trapped by any holiday. I want us to understand there are certain principles we ought to have no matter what's going on in our life. This is who we are. So what are you thankful for? Just think about it. Let it cross your mind. And just because Thursday has passed doesn't mean you have to stop thinking about what you are thankful for. I was able to host Thanksgiving at my house, and we had at least 16 guests. And I got to thinking that just a few months ago, I wouldn't have been able to host that many people, but God allowed me to buy a house in the right time, in the nick of time, when I didn't think I had the money, because God is a God that can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. So that makes me thankful. I heard Sister Ruthie talking just briefly about her testimony, saying where she was and where she is, and that makes her thankful. You don't have to wait till Thursday in November. You can tell somebody your testimony on Facebook. You can tell it on Twitter. You can tell it in the water cooler on your job. You can tell people, this is what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that I'm still here. I'm thankful that I bounce back through every trial. I'm thankful that it won't always be like this. God will perfect that which concerneth me. Sooner or later, it's going to turn in my favor. So I have an attitude of thanksgiving all the time. But as I looked at this question, I thought about something that I had never really thought about. And this is where I want to park and I want to preach from. Normally, when we think about thanksgiving, we think about thanksgiving as a response. In this image we have on the screen, it says, what are you thankful for? And then it has health, home, family, friends, food. But the problem is, if we only use thanksgiving as a response, the problem is, if my health is failing, can I still be thankful? If my home is kind of jacked up, can I still be thankful? If my family is topsy-turvy, can I still be thankful? If I don't have as many friends as I used to have, can I still be thankful? And if I don't eat the food that I want to eat, can I still be thankful? The problem is, if thanksgiving is only a response, it's predicated on your circumstances. That as long as my circumstances are like I want them to be, I can respond in thanksgiving. And I understand that, because who wants to be thankful when you're going through living hell? But I want to teach it in a different way. I don't want to just talk about thanksgiving as a response. I want to talk about thanksgiving as a tool. I don't want to just talk about thanksgiving as a response. I want to talk about thanksgiving as a weapon. What if you use what you're thankful for not just as a response to something that happens good to you? In other words, when my day is good, I'll have a thankful attitude. What if you make up your mind, even when you know the day's going to be bad, you make up in your mind, I'm going to go in this day thankful. I'm going to find something to be thankful for. I know I'm waking up next to a man that I don't like, and we might end up in divorce court, but I'm going to find something about that raggedy rascal to give thanks for, because I'm going to use my thanksgiving not just as a response, but I'm going to use it as a weapon. Yeah. All right. So this is what I want to call this. I want to call this message, the power of thanksgiving. The power. power of thanksgiving. Not just thanksgiving as a response. Not just thanksgiving as a holiday. Not just thanksgiving because the preacher said, clap your hands, stomp your feet, and raise your hand. But when you make up in your mind, thanksgiving is a weapon. And thanksgiving will be powerful if I can put it in action. If I can use it as a tool. If I can use it on purpose. I mean, I know who's in office. I know who my president is. Some people don't even use his name. They say 45. I know who 45 is, but I'm going to find a way to be thankful about my country. I'm going to find a way to be thankful about my city. I'm going to find a way. In other words, I'm not going to wait till something happens. I'm going to wake up with a pre-planned, purposeful mind. I'm going to give thanks. And I'm here to let you know, if you understand this principle, you'll find out you won't go too far in your day before you realize you've got something to give God thanks for. When I'm driving to my job and I'm going down the highway, sometimes I look over the side of the road and see 2-3 cars on the side of the road stuck maybe in the ditch. And I think about it, that could be me. I heard one songwriter say this. He says, it could have been me outdoors with no food and no clothes. I could have been just another number. So guess what? Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I'm not going to wait till something new happens. I'm going to thank God right where I am, because there's a power in the attitude of thanksgiving. Guess what it would do to the devil to see you wake up in the middle of your trial and say, thank you, God? What would it do to the devil to hear you before you go to bed say, thank you, Jesus? I understand the old people when they were trying to get us to get the Holy Ghost, and they didn't always have the wisdom that we have now, but they would just say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Now, we were trying to get something that we didn't have, and they said, just say, thank you, Jesus. They're saying there's a power in thanking God before the promise gets here. There's a power in thanking God before the miracle gets here. There's a power in thanking God before the situation turns around. There's a power in saying, I'm going to thank God right now. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Thank God now. Praise God now. There's power in thanksgiving. Let me give you just a few of the things that thanksgiving does. Thanksgiving, number one, thanksgiving gives us access. And when you think about access, you think about keys. Keys lock doors and unlock doors. Passwords give you access. Thanksgiving is like a key. It's like a password. It unlocks things. It opens things. And here's a major thing. And if you don't hear anything else I say after the rest of this message, just hearing this was worth your time driving here. Just hearing this can change your life. Just hearing this, that Thanksgiving as a tool, as a key, it has power and has the power of access. Somebody say access. Say it again, access. Here's the key. And you've heard it before. I'm just going to paint the picture. Psalms 104. Would you read that?
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
Enter into his gates with what? It says that we get in the gates of God. Now, I know you can't see God. And sometimes God makes sure you have a glimpse of him. But none of us have seen God. But it says we can get close to God if we have the key of thanksgiving, because the key opens the gates. I got a cousin, and he lives in Dallas, and he has a nice house. And when you get there, it's a gated community. You've got to have an access code to even get close to the house. You can't even get next to him until the gates open up. But if you have the code, you can open up the gates.
And somebody is saying, where is God? I wish God would show up. And God is saying, I'm behind the gates. And if you have the access code, you can step in the gates no matter what you're going through, no matter what kind of sin is in your life, no matter how broke you are, no matter how sick you are, you got a key called Thanksgiving and you can open up the gates. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And enter into his courts with praise. Because thanksgiving will lead you to praise. Because once you start thanking him, it does something to your memory. Once you start saying thank you, God, it reminds you of what he's already done for you. I know I need something new today, but let me thank God for what you've already done. And when I thank him for what he's already done, then praise erupts. And what happens is, and we are thankful to him and we bless his name. So here's the key. It gives us access to the presence of God. You cannot make it in this life without the presence of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You need the presence of God. And I'm here to let you know that if you have the access key of thanksgiving, you can get into the presence of God. I don't know what the world's going to do next. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what's going to get shot up next. Every time we turn around, somebody is shooting. So how do I make it through the day? I've got an access code called Thanksgiving. And at any moment in my day, I can step into the presence of God, no matter where I am, because I have a key called thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for being good to me. Let me just give you an example of how it works for me. I don't always know exactly what I'm going to say, but I start off by saying, God, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for 20 years of ministry. Thank you for 17 years of marriage. Thank you for Draylen, Dylan, and Alana. Thank you for Deliverance Temple. Thank you for my Cadillac. And before I know it, I'm straight up praising God. Yes, I have trouble. Yes, I have problems. Yes, I have issues. Yes, I have some debt. Yes, I got some folk that don't like me, but I still have a thank you, God, down in my spirit. And if I can thank him, I can keep on going. If I can just thank him, I can get close to his presence. And this is what gets me. Sometimes when I'm thanking him, and sometimes when I'm praising him, he turns around and starts talking to me and saying, son, I love you. Son, I appreciate you. And when he starts talking back to me, Mother King, sometimes I'm saying, but God, I got some issues. He says, son, I love you beyond your issues. I love you beyond your hangups. I love you beyond your addiction. And it all happened when I first opened my mouth and said, thank you, God. Now, here's the key. We find this in the next verse. This is super, super easy. Verse 5 says this.
For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Ooh. And his truth endureth to all generations.
He's not asking you to thank somebody who's not worthy of it. It says, for the Lord is good. It'd be one thing. Sometimes God asks us to forgive people that are unforgivable. Or he asks us to love people that are unlovable. But when it comes to thanksgiving, it's the easiest thing. He's just saying, give me what I'm worth. And when you look back over your life, you can find ways that God has been good to me. I should have been dead and gone. I should have been in the accident. When I was in the accident didn't take me out. So God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God, I appreciate you. God, you've been there for me. God, you are good. Lord, you are good all the time. And all the time you are good. It's not that hard because he's worthy. And if you're still breathing, he's still being good to you. If your eyes open up, he's still being good to you. If your fingers are still moving, he's still being good to you. If there's blood running warm in your body, he's still being good to you. I don't care who walked out on you. I don't care who left you. God is still good to you. And the only thing he says is, just tell me thank you. Two words. Only eight letters. Thank you. Let's get away from just the God example. And let's just go to regular life. Back in the day, 20 years ago, when you opened the door for somebody, they would at least say, thank you. We have lost our manners in this day and age. We're so busy that we can't stop and say thank you. I know it's the waiter's job to bring me the steak that I order. I know I'd pay for it, but it doesn't hurt me to tell them thank you. Let me get deep just for a second. This ain't for the single folk, and this ain't for the children. This is for the married folk. When me and my wife are intimate, we have created a habit to tell each other thank you. Because even though the Bible says we're supposed to be together, it doesn't guarantee that we do get together. So when we do get together, we are kind enough to each other just to say thank you. Thank you for taking care of my sexual needs. Thank you for being there for me. If you learn how to say thank you to the people in your life, it will open up all kinds of opportunities to you. And let me say this, I'm not going to stay on it long. Stop rewarding unthankful people. If your child didn't say thank you for another toys he got last year, give him less toys this year and teach him a lesson. Unthankful people do not go far in life. Say thank you. Tell God thank you. Tell people thank you. Tell your pastor thank you. Tell the usher thank you. Tell the bishop thank you. Tell the policeman thank you. Thank you. He didn't have to do it, but you did. Thank you, God. It's easy. All right, so number one, it gives us access. Number two, it puts a smack dab in the will of God. We're always trying to think about how can I do your will, God? God, I want to do your will. If you want me to go to Africa, God, I'll do your will. That's cute. That's fine that you have your emotional moment with God, but sometimes God is not that complicated. Sometimes it's not that hard to find the will of God. Pastor, I just want to be in the will of God. I want to get out of Muncie. I want to go here. I want to do that, but I just don't want to be out of the will of God. What am I going to do? I'm going to fast 75 days. I'm glad you're fasting, but it may not be as hard as you're acting. See, one thing about it, the will of God is the way of God, and the way of God is found in the Word of God. So before you go off on the deep end, you first need to start with his word, because his word will tell you his way. His way will show you his will. Now hearing that, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says this.
Rejoice evermore.
Says rejoice evermore. Next verse.
Pray without ceasing.
Two things that God tells us to do. Now these are two things that when you put them together, rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. Both of those things seem hard to do. How am I going to rejoice all the time? And how am I going to pray without stopping? So the Bible doesn't say that you have to always be praying, because if you're always praying, you can't be doing anything else. Right now I'm preaching and I'm called to preach. And so if I have to pray while I'm preaching, I may not be praying the way you think I'm praying, but there's a way to always pray without ceasing, and there's a way to rejoice evermore. Read the next verse.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
I just gave you a quick key to get smack dab in the middle of God's will. I didn't tell you to fast. I didn't tell you to go on the Daniel fast. I didn't tell you to do any flips. I didn't tell you to walk backwards and have 17 scriptures. I just read one verse to you, and it says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the what? Concerning who? You. So that means you. That means me and you. There's one easy way to get in the middle of God's will, and is in everything, give thanks. And here's the key, that when you're giving thanks in everything, you're also praying without ceasing. Because prayer is not just a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. It's between you and God. And there's several types of dialogues. And one of the dialogues of prayer is the dialogue of thanksgiving. So when you are thanking, you are actually praying. So every time you say thank you, God, you're offering God a prayer. Now let's make this practical. In everything, give thanks. How am I going to do that when I lost a loved one? How am I going to do that when I totaled my car? How am I going to do that when I lost my job? Here's the thing. The Bible didn't say give thanks for everything. It says give thanks in everything. In other words, you don't thank him because you lost a loved one. You thank him because even though you lost a loved one, you're still here. So there's still a reason to give God praise for. I don't have to kill myself because I lost somebody I love. I want to see them again, but I can praise God that even though they were gone, I'm still here. So I'm not praising God for the death, but I'm praising God in the death. In everything, give thanks. And here's the key, because whenever you are still in something, there's still an opportunity that you can get out of it. And so you praise God in it, because if I'm in it, I still can get out of it. If I'm in grief, there's still a way out of grief. If I'm in debt, there's still a way out of debt. If I'm in sickness, there's still a way out of sickness. So in everything, give thanks. How can I do that when I've got arthritis in my fingers? Well, do you have arthritis in your toes? Well, no, not yet. Well, here, this is what you do. Thank God that it's not in your toes yet. Find a way in everything to give thanks. And when you do that, not only do you introduce the presence of God, but you put yourself in the will of God. And when you're in the will of God, what you do, you irritate the devil. And many times it's the devil that caused the circumstance to begin with. So if you want to get him back, don't just shout and holler. Just give God thanks. How do I know that? Because it's good to rebuke the devil. Satan, the Lord rebuked you. It's good to say, devil, get out of my family. Devil, get out of my life. But when I look at the book of Job, there's 42 chapters in the book of Job. And only two chapters was Satan involved in, two chapters. The other 40 chapters, Satan was nowhere to be found. So most of the dialogue between Job and God and Satan was nowhere to be found. Even though Satan may have attacked you, you got to stop giving him so much attention. Stop talking to him, rebuke him, say what you got to say, and you leave him alone and you start talking to God and you say, God, what do you want me to learn in this? I thank you that you've never left me before. I thank you that you're still on my side. I thank you that if God be for me, who can be against me? I thank you that I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I'm thankful that I can find a message on the internet and listen to a sermon when I'm going through. You find some way to give God thanks in everything. And what it does, the one song says, praise confuses the enemy. And so when you're thanking when you should be crying, it confuses the enemy. It messes with his head. And if I want to do one thing in life, I want to mess with the devil. I want the devil to be so irritated with me. I want the devil to be so bothered with me. I don't want every time he tries to put something on me, I flip out and I give up and I can't come back to church. I'm too depressed to go to church. I'm going to take my depressed self to the house of God. I'm going to take my broke self to the house of God. I'm going to take my addicted self to the house of God. And I'm not going to let the devil see me sweat. When they praise, I'm going to praise. When they shout, I'm going to shout. Because I want the devil to be so irritated and so frustrated, because in everything, I still can give God thanks. So I come to church and I'll stick my hand up. I come to church and I'll stomp my feet. I'll come to church and I'll sing songs. I'll come to church, and if I only have two nickels to rub together, I'll take my two nickels and I'll put them in the offering, because I'm going to give God thanks some way, somehow. Let the church say amen. I'm going to give God thanks, because it's the will of God concerning me.
Now, what you could do is you could come ready to give God thanks, and then you look at somebody over here, look at Brother Doug, well, he's doing better than me, and you get jealous. But the will of God concerning you is to give thanks. Don't worry about the person next to you. Worry about yourself and take yourself and give God praise the best way you can give God praise. If you got to cry it out, if you got to snot it out, whatever you got to do, the fact that you're still living, it can still turn around. The fact that you're still breathing, it can still work out. God can still fix it. God can give you another job. God can give you another spouse. God can give you another car. God can feed you again. God can clothe you again. So thank God right now. Thank Him. Be grateful. Be thankful. Next verse, Ephesians 5:17. This says it again. Whenever the Bible says something twice, recognize it. Here, read it again.
Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
I don't want you to be foolish, but I want you to know what the will of the Lord is. In the scripture in Thessalonians, it said the will of God is for us to give thanks. Read what this says, verse 18.
And do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit.
This is the connotation of this. The Bible doesn't say us as Christians that we cannot drink. But it talks about us being drunk with wine, because many times what we try to do, we try to drown our sorrows by medicating them away. I'm hurting, so I'm going to drink it away. I'm hurting, so I'm going to smoke it away. I'm going to have a temporary fix. But the Bible says, no, don't focus on that. But focus on being filled with the Spirit. Because what the Spirit does is eternal, not temporary. If I grab a joint today, it may make me feel good for a couple hours. But when I get done with that, the problem is still there. I can get some Morgan David and some Hennessy, but the problem is still there. And I don't know about y'all, but when I tried it, not only did I have a problem, I had a problem and a hangover. So I said, I'm not going to have both. I'm not going to have problems and hangover. I'm going to leave the alcohol alone, and I'm going to work on feeling that Spirit. Because the Spirit, man, the Bible says, it knows the deep things of God. It knows how I ended up getting in the situation to begin with. And the only one I can trust is the Spirit inside of me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So you got greater power in you than in the wine cooler that's in the store. It's greater power in you than the dime weed bag that's on the corner. It's greater power in here. So I'm not mad at you because you tried something, but never exchange the greater power for the lesser power. Well, the reason why I fornicate is it gets rid of the loneliness. But once you get done, the loneliness is still there. So stop trading in your power for something that's lower. That's all this scripture is talking about. Next verse.
Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart.
So this is what you ought to be doing. You ought to even be talking to other folk in stuff that's all in your spirit. In other words, instead of talking the problem, you should be addressing one another in stuff that's in the Word of God. How you doing, Pastor Andre? Well, you know what? I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. It doesn't mean everything's going right in my life, but I'm here to let you know that I'm believing God. I love it when I talk to somebody who tells me their trouble, but in the middle of them telling me their trouble, they also tell me the solution. I'm going through, but I'm holding to God's unchanging hand. I'm hurting, but yet in my flesh, I'm going to see God. I like how David preached the Psalms. He would tell you what he was going through, but he would always let you know at the end of the day, I lift up mine eyes to the hills. You got to talk to each other in a way that builds you up instead of tearing you down. I know I would much rather right now go grab a drink and drink my sorrows away, but I'm trusting in God that the God that got me here won't leave me here. The God that brought me here won't let me drop. So even though I want to do something, I'm going to stay right here because I'm trusting God. Talk your way out of your situation. And you got to have people to talk to who understand what you're talking about. When I talk the word to you and you say, hey, don't take all that, don't be all that deep. I don't need you in my life.
I'm going through too much hell for to be around somebody that don't know the word of God. I need somebody that can get a prayer through. I need somebody to say, I'm going to touch and agree with you. I need somebody to say, where two or three are gathered in the midst, God is in. I need somebody to help me talk this word so I can get some victory. And then it says, sing and make a melody to the Lord with your heart. It means when nobody's around. Sometimes just down on the inside, you have to learn how to say, you deserve it. Whatever you've got to do, I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Whatever you've got to do, you got to have your own playlist. I don't need an iPod to give God praise. I don't need Tasha Cobbs to get. I got a song in my spirit that I can call it up anytime I get ready. Because I'm going through too much hell not to have a praise in my spirit. Sometimes I just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I ain't saying nothing but yes, Lord, but it's just what I need to get me out of what I'm in. Whatever it takes, you need it. Let me throw this rabbit trail in. That's why it's important, praise team, to be anointed and sing songs under the power of God. Because the people that are listening to you might need those songs in 2-3 days later. You ought to impart the power of God into the people of God where they just sometimes you wake up with a song. A song you haven't heard in years, but a song that's down in your spirit. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my and you don't even have to be able to sing to have a song in your spirit. And just praise God the best way you know how. When the devil all night has tried to ride your neck and you wake up with a song. The devil, have you ever felt the presence of the devil while you're sleeping? You ever felt it just pressing on you, but you wake up with a Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Whatever it takes, you got to make up in your mind, I'm not going to die like this. I'm not going out like this. Devil, if you're going to take me out, you're going to have to battle me because I'm going to give God praise in everything. Because I got a praise in my spirit. Now, I don't have none of those songs in my notes, but those songs are in my heart. Oh, yeah. I don't mind Stevie Wonder. I don't mind Jodeci. I don't mind Cardi B and whatever you want to listen to. But those songs get in my head. The songs that are in my heart, I can't let anything get in my heart. When I'm hurting, I don't want to hear, I got sunshine on a cloudy day. I don't want to hear that when I'm going through hell. I want something that can give me a sure enough breakthrough. So singing melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20.
Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus.
He said it a second time. Here's the will of God. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. In other words, for everything to God, everything that God is working on, give God thanks. All right. So the first one was access. The number two was the will of God. Let's pick up number three. It gives us wholeness. This word wholeness comes from the Hebrew word shalom, which when we translate in our English means peace. But there's a greater understanding, which means nothing broken and nothing missing. God is oftentimes, he's taking us from a place of being here to there, but a lot of times he breaks us so that when we come over here, we have nothing broken. Sometimes he strips us so that when we get over here, we're still humble. God is going to show up, bless some people, but he can't have you being arrogant when you get the blessing. God don't mind giving you money, but if you get an attitude when you have $5 in your pocket, he's got to strip you. But once he strips you, he doesn't mind stripping you and rebuilding you. He doesn't mind stripping you and replenishing you. He doesn't mind stripping you and refurbishing you. What he's doing a total restoration on you. Restoration has finally come. He's working you over. So you have to understand that God is moving you to a place of wholeness. Some of us are in the house of God and we're still too broken. And there's nothing wrong with brokenness. Broken people make the best healers. Broken people are humble, but you can't stay broke all the time. You can't stay broken forever. You have to have some wholeness. You have to have some soundness. Every now and then you have to be able to go to sleep without a sleeping pill. You have to be able to get rid of a headache without ibuprofen. Nothing wrong with the sleeping pill if you need it. Nothing wrong with ibuprofen, but you can't always get to ibuprofen. You can't always get to a sleeping pill. You've got to have some peace on the inside of you. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because you trust in God. So we want to move to wholeness. Let's go to this Luke 17 and 12.
And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off.
This is in Luke, and so it's talking about Jesus. When Jesus walked into a city, 10 lepers met him. And what happened? Verse 13.
And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.
They cried, they lifted up their voices, Jesus, have mercy on us. Next verse.
And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests.
Hold on, stop right there. This is one area in scripture where he did not lay hands on them. He did not rebuke the spirit. He heard the problem and he told them, go. Read.
And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed.
Here's the thing. Sometimes God's miracle is not immediate. It's as you go. It's as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, I can preach it today, but you might not get it till April. But can you still stay in it knowing that I got it in November, even though it doesn't show up till April? As they went, they were cleansed. And some people miss their blessing because it doesn't look like it happens right away. But sometimes you're not ready for it right away. He wants to cleanse you as you go. So don't give up yet. Let me put it to you this way. Some of y'all sold a $500 seed. And it was prophesied that something would happen in 7 days. But what happened in 7 days may not be visible. God may have done it in 7 days, but you don't see it in 7 days. So don't let go of your seed just because you don't see it right now. Keep going, because sometimes the blessing is as you go. Yeah. But look what happens. Verse 15.
And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God.
They all 10 of them were lepers. All 10 of them were told to go and show yourself to the priest. It means by the time they got to the priest, they were going to be totally healed. But one of them saw a little bit of healing right away and turned around and went back with a loud voice to glorify God. I don't need to see the full miracle to turn around and tell God thank you. I don't see it all right now. I'm not totally clean, but if I get just a little breakthrough, I'm going to turn around and say, thank you, God. Because if you're doing this, you can do some more. If you're blessing here, you'll bless there. If you're touching over here, you'll touch over there. So God, thank you. But the Bible says he went back and glorified God with a loud voice. So he could have just yelled, thank you, God, and kept on moving like the rest of them. But when he said, thank you, God, thanks draws you into the presence of God. I can't say thank you without getting next to you, God. So he went all the way back. Read some more.
And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan.
Can I demonstrate this? He fell down on his face. Now, the Bible didn't say he was totally healed or totally cleansed, but he saw just enough to come back to God and say, oh, God, thank you. I appreciate you, God. God, I know you're going to finish the work that you started. He that began a good work in me, he is faithful to complete it. Thank you, God. Are you willing to come back and lay on your face just to tell him, thank you? And the scripture says, and he was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were people that wasn't supposed to know much about God. And this is what I've learned as I've been leading people. Sometimes the most religious people will miss out on what God is doing. You take a rhino and you pull them off the street. If they go 2 days without drinking, they come and they saying, thank you, God. They're so happy. But some of us will take deliverance year after year and never come back and give God praise. But that Samaritan said, thank you, God. I don't need to see the full miracle. Thank you, God. God, I want a car. Well, 2 weeks later, somebody buys me 10 extra bus passes. Well, thank you, God, for that. It's not what I asked for, but at least I can ride. Thank you, God. You got to thank God for every little thing, because here's the thing. When you see something small, you know God is at work. All right, next verses.
And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9?
Jesus said, no, wait a second. That what you saw in you, them other people could have saw something in them too. What happened to the other ones that got the same thing that you got? They took the blessing and kept on going. I don't like to beat people up over tithes, but I wonder, how can you keep getting blessed and never come back and say thank you? I got a new job, Pastor. I got more overtime, but we don't see none of the overtime because you just take your blessing and run. I'm not saying you're a bad person. You're just ungrateful. And when you're ungrateful, there's got to be at least one person in the group that says, before I keep going to this blessing, I got to go back to the blesser and say thank you. Because if it wasn't for the blesser, I wouldn't have a thing. God, I thank you. Are you grateful enough to turn back? So he said, where are the other 9? Next verse.
There are not found that return to give God glory to God, save this stranger.
He said, they ain't even here except for this stranger. This person who doesn't know anything about the covenant, so to speak. This person who's not really a church person. He's just somebody that knows he's been touched. And I'm so grateful when we have a church full of people that's not really church people. A church full of people that are just grateful. Now, I don't have to have a Kojic over my door or apostolic. I don't care how I was baptized. I'm just coming to church to tell God thank you for what he's done in my life. I used to be hooked on crack. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Like Sister Ruthie said, I was a dropout, a high school dropout. Now I'm a college graduate with honors. I'm just here to say thank you, God. I want some people that won't take the blessings of God and act like he had to do it. He didn't have to do a thing for you. He's God. He don't need you. You need him. So whenever you get a chance, run back and tell him thank you. Next verse.
And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
Now the other people, they got cleansed. They got healing. But he got wholeness. He said, get up, go your way. Your faith have made thee whole. Now, wait a second. Nowhere in the story does it talk anything about faith. But after he got done praising, Jesus said, your faith made you whole. Here's the key. When you thank God, even when you haven't seen it all, that's a sign of your faith. That's a sign of your belief. That's a sign. If you can praise God over just a little thing, God says, to me, your thanksgiving is the same as your faith. And your faith will make you whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken, wholeness. Now, some scholars think this, that when you are a leper was a flesh-eating disease. And so even though some of the other people were cleansed, they could have lost some of their limbs, their fingers and their toes. But when the one man came back and said, thank you, everything was made whole. Everything he lost came back. Not only did the disease become cleansed, but every limb that he lost became whole. Whatever he had to pay out to be cleansed of the disease by other people, everything he lost was turned around and made whole because he came back and said, thank you. And God knew his thank you was a sign of his faith. And sometimes the greatest step of faith, leap of faith you can make, is to tell God thank you in the middle of the worst situation of your life. In the most depressing situation, you say, God, I still thank you that I'm here. after the divorce and after the loneliness, you say, God, I still thank you that I got my kids. I still thank you that I can eat steak when I want. You find something. And God said, that's your faith, and your faith will make you whole. And whole means nothing missing, nothing broken. God will put you back together again. This is what it'll do. You will go so far in the opposite direction. When you tell people your story, they won't hardly believe it. When I tell people I used to get drunk and I was drinking, people are like, I don't see that in you, because God has moved me so far and he's made me so whole that people don't always even believe my testimony, because God has brought me a mighty long way, because I just had the nerve enough to say, God, thank you. Thank you. All right. Last one. Multiplication. Somebody say multiplication. Multiplication. So we talked about access. And then we covered the will of God. Then we covered wholeness. Now we're going to cover multiplication. This is something very interesting. Let's read this, and we're going to close from here. Luke 17:12.
There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?
Sorry, it was John 6:9. There's a lad here. So we're parking in the middle of the Jesus feeding the 5,000. Last year in my giving series, I talked about this account in 4 different ways, and we preached it. It's the only account of a miracle in the Bible that is listed in all 4 of the Gospels. And so we park in the middle of it, and we know the story that Jesus told them to feed the people, and they're like, we don't have enough money to feed all these people. He said, go see what you got. And he went out there and saw what he had and said, there's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they amongst so many? Here's the thing. When God asks you to give him thanks and he tells you, why don't you thank him for what you already have? But sometimes what you already have, it ain't that much. I'm still here, but I'm barely making it. But look at the miracle of what happens next. The next verse.
And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place.
It was interesting that they told him, all we have is 5 loaves and a couple fish. And then Jesus says, make the people sit down. In other words, Jesus said, I'm going to use what I've got and I'm going to do a miracle. Here's the power of thanksgiving, that if you use what you have, God can do a miracle with it. Here's the thing. Multiplication is so powerful, but here's the thing we all understand. If you take multiplication, if you take the biggest number you want to pick, let's say 2 trillion. 2 trillion times 0 is what?
0.
You've got to have something to multiply with. I don't care how big the top number is. If you don't give them something to work with, it's going to be nothing. So what Jesus says, I am the miracle worker. All I need for you to do is bring me something. I don't need a lot. Just bring me something. And when we bring God our thanksgiving, we're just giving him something to work with. So he says, and make the men sit down. Read some more.
So the men sat down in number about 5,000.
What we know about this is that they only counted the men in those days. And so they could be as many as 20,000 or more people there. So all those people sat down. Next verse.
Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks.
Hold on. We always talk about how Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves. But before he multiplied anything, he took what he had and did what with it?
Gave thanks.
Gave thanks. It was not enough. It was not going to meet the need. But he took what he had and he said, thank you, God. He took the little that he had and said, thank you, God. I know you don't have everything you need. I know you're not the person you want to be yet. But take what you have and just say, thank you for my life, God. Thank you that I still got a chance to serve you. Thank you that I can try again. I don't care how much sin is in your life. Tell God, thank you that you kept me alive for such a time as this. I don't know when I'm going to get it together. I don't know when I'm going to stop being addicted. I don't know when I'm going to stop messing up. But I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, God, do something with my life. And thank you that you kept me here. Thank you that you preserved me. Thank you that I didn't die in my sins. Thank you that I still have my right mind. Thank you that I'm not crazy. I should have gone crazy for what I've gone through. I should be back crazy. I should be in a straitjacket, but I'm still here with my mind. God, thank you. I ain't got enough money to feed my family. I got an EBT card, but I'm going to take my EBT card and I'm going to take my money and I'm going to say, God, thank you. I could be somewhere in the soup line getting soup every day of the week. God, thank you that every now and then I can have a French fry and a sandwich. Thank you. I'm going to take whatever I have and I'm going to offer to you. And the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to say thanks. So he took it. He said thanks. And what happened next?
He distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted.
So here's the picture. He took what he had, said thanks, and then he distributed it. He gave it. And it kept multiplying in the disciples' hands. And what God did, first thing he said, I'm going to take what I have, I'm going to offer it to God. And no matter how much I break it up, it won't run out. I need to tell somebody that as I close. No matter how broken you feel, you're not going to run out. You're not going to lose your mind. You're not going to go crazy. You're not going to give up. You're not going to throw in the towel, because you take what you have and you say, God, I thank you. I'm not who I want to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I thank you. I'm not who I used to be. God, I thank you. And God, no matter how much I'm broken, no matter how much I feel like I'm being destroyed, you're not going to let me run out. You're going to let me overflow. God, fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. So God, I'm going to take what I have and I'm going to give you thanks. Let's stand to our feet and let's demonstrate this. We're going to demonstrate this with the fruit of our lips. Not even clapping, not even shouting, but we're just going to tell God, thank you. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Maybe they're on Facebook Live, or maybe they're going to be on YouTube. But somebody needs to understand the power of thanksgiving. That if you can thank him right where you are, it can and it will turn around. With your hands lifted up in the air, just repeat after me, and then I'm going to release you to do it however you want to do it. But we're going to give it to God. God, we thank you that we're still here. God, we thank you that we're living. God, we thank you for our church. God, we thank you for our life. We thank you for our strength. We thank you for our health. God, we thank you for everything, small or great. We thank you. Now you go ahead and talk to God and tell God thank you.